has something to release today, and it's going to be significant. Are you guys ready? Are you ready for the word today? Well, I want to just share. We've been in a series about release, and it's been incredible. If you have not heard all the messages in this series from Pastor Lynn, the week Pastor Pam shared about release, those things, go back. Go on to JubileePensacola.com. Go back and listen to those messages again. Sometimes we need to hear things over and over for it to get into our spirit. And so we've been in this series, and I just want to share a story because God began to speak to me about what I was supposed to release today to you about 2 weeks ago. And we had the privilege to go to a conference in Atlanta. And Tim shared about that last week and with a group of people. It was great. It was so encouraging. It was full of joy and excitement and passion. And we were so encouraged and we came back all fired up. So right after that conference, Jadeen and I flew to Orlando because we had an educational conference we had to go to for JCA, for our school here. And so we flew straight there and everybody else drove back. And so we were in Orlando and it was the week of the Priceless Women's Hangout. How many of you came to that? That was awesome. And so we got to Orlando. And we the first day, we kind of relaxed, decompressed from all the busyness of the conference in Atlanta. And so we were just there, and the next day we had a meeting. And we had a couple of things come up. We had a staff meeting. There was a lot going on. We hopped on the phone with staff meeting and all this stuff. And I had one of those moments where my husband calls it the one room theory, where it's not just one thing that was wrong, but everything was wrong all at once, all the time, and everyone. Does that happen to anyone else in the room? It can just be me. We can just talk about me. So I was mad at my husband. I was mad at Jadeen. I was mad at everything that was happening. I'm like, nobody's doing their job. Nobody's doing what they're supposed to be doing. Da, 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 da. And all of this stuff just started to spew out of me. Out of nowhere. God had been so good for the last few days. It had been so great. I had been with Jesus. And all of a sudden that just went spiraling down. Down. It was really, really down. And I can tell you my family was grateful. I was many hundreds of miles away. Everybody was probably grateful that I was locked up in some hotel room in Orlando that nobody else could get to me or they didn't have to see my face. And so the next morning after this meltdown that I wasn't doing well, I'm pretty sure Jesus abandoned me for a little bit. He's kind of like, you know what, baby, if you're going to act like that, I'm just going to go over here and I'll be back when you're ready to fix it. So the next morning I went to the gym to work out. Jadeen disappeared early. I'm sure she went to intercede and pray because she had two more days of a trip with me. And so she had left and I went to the gym to work out. I was like, yes, I'm going to go work out. I don't have a 9-year-old. I don't have a husband. I don't have a new dog. How many of y'all freaked out when Tim got up last week and said, I'm a new father? I freaked out with you. I was like, what? What? He's a new father to a dog. That's it. That's all that's ever going to happen at this point. Okay? I'm just going to say that. But I got on the treadmill and I had my phone, my AirPods in. I had my phone there and I had it on YouTube. And guess what song was playing? I had it on repeat. The song we sang this morning. Is it a fragrance? Then I'll pour my oil out. And I was just worshiping on the treadmill. I'm just walking. I'm like, yeah, I just want to move your heart, Lord. Da 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 da. And I'm just doing my own thing, like everything's fine. And God said to me, you stink. And I was like, well, I do know I'm working out. I am kind of sweaty. I do probably not smell very good. He said, no, you stink. I need you to fix your fragrance. And that's all he said to me all day. Like there was no resolve. Like, you know what, honey? Here's how I'm going to help you do that. You know, I get that what you said was true, but baby, there was none of that. It was, you stink, fix your fragrance. So if I could title my message this morning, I'm going to title it, Fix Your Fragrance. Because there are some places in our life, no matter how good you think things are going, no matter how bad things are going, there are seasons and there are moments, if you're me, it's daily, it's minute to minute, that we have to make a choice to fix our fragrance. Because a lot of times we're waiting for God to release his promises. We're waiting for God to release. And then he's saying, release the people that you're holding unforgiveness. Release these things. But at the end of the day, God has us walking around on this earth because we are supposed to be releasing a fragrance that smells like him, not like you and I. And we have mixed that up in our daily life. Because we are spending time walking around and people are smelling the aroma of you. Or the aroma of your issues. Or the aroma of your mess. And let me tell you something. God is looking down and he's saying, hey, that stinks. Fix your fragrance. This is such an encouraging message, isn't it? It's going to help you. We have a responsibility in the earth to release Christ. We have this responsibility. We don't have a responsibility to release our flesh, to release our opinions, to release our feelings and our emotions. That's what I did that day. And I've done it many, 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 many times. And I have to pull myself back into check and say, whoa, 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 whoa. That's not what's supposed to be coming out of me. And that takes some work. That takes hard decisions to be able to do that, but it's our responsibility. Do you know that your sense of smell, I love it because there's all these times in the Bible and multiple times God talks about smells and fragrances and aromas. And if you want to know how many times it's in the Bible, Pastor Pam or Pastor Lynn will tell you. I didn't go look all that up. Because that's not what I need you to get today. I need you to get that your aroma matters. And I need you to understand that what you're releasing when you walk out these doors or even in these doors or in your living room or in your car or on your text messages, what you're releasing is an aroma. It's an aroma. And smell is a very significant, it's one of the most significant of our senses. How many of you had, well, I'm not going to have you raise your hand. I was about to say, how many of you had COVID? Don't do that. Don't raise your hand. You're sitting next to somebody. You're like, I'm scooting over. So some of us in the room experienced COVID. And one of the symptoms of that was loss of smell. Still is loss of smell. I know people right now, they still have not gotten back their sense of smell after COVID. And that sense of smell happens right up here in your brain. It is a cognitive thing that drives your senses. And I want to tell you that scent or smell is the most closely related sense to memory. How many of you know when you smell something, it brings a memory, it triggers something? When you smell that perfume, you think of your grandma. When you smell that, you know, that laundry detergent, you think of this. When you smell this smell, sometimes it brings up something bad or traumatic, right? Smells are powerful. And smells affect your taste. Even if you can still taste, if you can't smell, the flavors are not the same. And you know, God's called us to be salt and to be light and to be an aroma. So if your aroma is messed up, it's going to mess up your tastiness to be salt. You understand? It messes with flavors. So this is actually, I mean, these are actual research studies. Smell has a strong influence on the emotions we feel. Smells influence our perception of time. They did a research study, and I'm not a coffee drinker. I have not grown up yet, but I love the smell of coffee. And actually, Tim nor I drink coffee. It's really sad, isn't it? How many of you drink coffee? Well, God bless you. Our house never smells like coffee in the morning. But they did a research study, and they did this smell aroma of coffee, and people lost perception of time when that aroma was in the room. Because it was a feeling of sit down, talk, relax. You don't have to be rushed. You don't have to feel under pressure. So see, when you smell coffee, it actually de-stresses you. Isn't that great? Smells can affect your productivity. Smells can affect how productive you are. I think it was Google, and I'm not for sure, but actually Google, the company, they diffuse lemon oil in all of their offices and in their buildings, and it increased productivity for all of their people. Interesting. God can smell. He says it over and over. That was a sweet aroma to me. So that means he can smell. How cool is that? And so you think that our fragrance, he doesn't matter? It matters. What you smell like matters. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And I want to read this scripture to you. Paul is writing in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And he was on his way to another place. Paul was always on his way somewhere. And usually there was a shipwreck or a stoning or something that happened. But this one, he was pretty good. In verse 12 of 2 Corinthians 2, it says, "When I arrived," this is Paul, "when I arrived at Troas bringing the wonderful news of Christ, the Lord opened a great door of opportunity to minister there. And still I had no peace of mind because I couldn't find my dear brother Titus anywhere. So after saying goodbye to the believers, I set out for Macedonia to look for him." Now let me clearly say what's really going on here. Paul showed up. Titus was supposed to be there. Titus was not where he was supposed to be. And Paul was ticked off and stressed out about it. It sounds really nice because he says, "I had no peace of mind because I could not find Titus." No, he was frustrated because he couldn't find Titus. So look in verse 14. God always makes his grace visible in Christ. In the traditional translation, it says, "But thanks be to God in Christ, who includes us as partners of his endless triumph." Now listen closely to the rest of this passage. "Through our yielded lives," somebody shout yielded lives, "he spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of God everywhere we go." Everywhere you go. It's quiet in here. "We have become the unmistakable aroma of the victory of the anointed one to God, a perfume of life to those being saved and the odor of death to those who are perishing. The unbelievers smell a deadly stench that leads to death, but believers smell the life-giving aroma that leads us to abundant life." And who of us can rise to this challenge? Can that be one of the questions today? Who of us can rise to this challenge? Verse 17, "For unlike so many, we are not peddlers of God's word who water down the message. But we are those sent from God with pure motives who speak in the sight of God from our union with Christ." So this whole thing, Paul shows up, he's frustrated Titus isn't there, he's irritated, he's trying to find him, he's messed up the schedule, and all of that, he begins to talk about what kind of fragrance we are in the middle of his frustration. And in this passage, there are three things. It's in order to be this aroma, this pleasing fragrance, it requires yielded lives, it requires pure motives, it requires union with Christ. Let me say that again. It requires yielded lives, it requires pure motives, it requires union with Christ, being with him. Say, "I'm an aroma." Look at somebody else, say, "Fix your fragrance." That wasn't very powerful. I did not want to hear that. I did not. Here, let me tell you something. So my amazing sister, Pam, she will look at one of her children, and you've heard her say this before, and you've heard me try to say it as good as her, but she will say, "Fix your face." With no apology, with no hesitation. I don't care how you feel on the inside, fix your face. And when we fix our face, that means I probably still feel yucky on the inside, but I'm gonna fix it right here because we'll get to the inside later. Fragrance starts from the inside. When God says fix your fragrance, there's an aroma that comes from the inside. So y'all see all this stuff up here, obviously. I don't know if it's plugged in. Oh, it is plugged in. How many of y'all have one of these in your house? A diffuser. They're just all the rage right now. I have three drawers full of these oils, y'all. Three drawers. Stephanie, shout for joy. She is an oil connoisseur. I've got all sorts of stuff. I also am a big fan of candles. This candle right here came from Molly Wagner's store in Franklin, Tennessee. It's my favorite candle I burn. That's why I've had it for a long time, and it's just this much because I burn it only like this long because I love it so much, and I need to go back to Franklin and get another one. But it's made locally by somebody there. But I love smells. I love scents. I love all that. By the way, congratulations, Ben, who's about to be a father, and Dave Wagner, who's going to be a grandpa. I love saying that because you're 7 days older than me. It's so great. All right. I'm not telling you what age Dave and I turn this year, but it's a jubilee sort of age. That's all I'll say. It's a year of jubilee. But I have all these scents. I have air fresheners. I have all sorts of stuff all over my house. But let me tell you, if you have a diffuser in your house, whatever you put in here is what comes out of here. So if I'm not sure how to do this one. My daughter, my 9-year-old set this up today if you want to know if she knows how to run the diffusers. I'll be like, go put in thieves today, baby. But if I put in, let's put in lavender. Who likes lavender oil? Yes, a little lavender oil. And I put that in my diffuser. What does lavender diffuse? What's it supposed to do? It brings calmness. Supposed to make you relaxed. It can help you sleep. Oh, it is working. Look at that. Okay. So as this, oh, it stopped. Okay. People are going to watch this online like, what are they doing at church? They're burning incense. What's happening? They did it in the temple. It's okay. But here's the thing. When this begins to diffuse, no matter how big this room is, in a minute, y'all are all going to smell lavender. Because it's going to get into the atmosphere. It's going to remain. All those little oil particles with that steam, they kind of just hang in the air. They connect to the air molecules that are in the air, and they just hang out, and that scent remains for a bit. But let me tell you, if I turned on that diffuser and I didn't put anything in it but water, what's it going to smell like? Nothing. So if I put nothing in, guess what? I don't smell like anything. Or if I put in some sort of nasty smelling something in there, whatever comes out, that's what you're going to smell because that's what I allow to get in me. Because whatever's in you, that's the aroma that you release out of you. Proverbs 23:7 says it's very clear, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So that means whatever's already in here, that's what you're going to portray. That's what you're going to release. That's the fragrance that you're going to release around you. And listen, I love diffusers because it changes the whole atmosphere of the room. They help, you can put in oils that help you breathe. You can put in oils that fight off infection. You can put in oils, this is not a commercial for Young Living or anything, but no, I'm just kidding. Essential oils, thank you, just essential oils. But it's the truth. Here's the thing, what are you diffusing in the atmosphere of your world right now? I don't have to answer for you, I have to answer for me. And God told me I stank, so that's what I got. I hope you get a nicer answer. What are you diffusing? Are you releasing a stench? Are you releasing an odor full of unforgiveness? Are you diffusing bitterness? Are you diffusing offense? Are you diffusing anger? Are you diffusing lust? Are you diffusing greed? What are you diffusing into the atmosphere? Because God didn't design us to do that. He says we're supposed to be a sweet, pleasing fragrance. That means I need to be diffusing love. I need to be diffusing peace. I need to be diffusing strength and life and joy into the atmosphere wherever I am. When I walk in the room and there's a stench, I should be the one that changes the atmosphere with my fragrance. I'm an aroma. I'm a fragrance. What are you diffusing? Listen, whatever is in you comes out of your pores. That's why when you sweat, it stinks because toxins come out of you. Listen, I don't have any teenage boys. Thank you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Dave. I don't have any teenage boys. Tim is definitely a girl dad. We have two girls. However, I have a 9-year-old, and she's in kids' church, so I can get away with this temporarily. Anybody else have a child that does not like to take a shower? Can we just have a mama moment for just a second? We will tell Sophia, go get in the shower. I don't want to take a shower. I mean, it's like meltdown. I'm like, it's water. You swim in the pool. Go get in the shower. I took one yesterday. I don't want to take one today. And Tim and I will look at her and say, you stink. Go get in the shower. A 9-year-old's feet and stuff, it just stinks. I can't even imagine a teenage boy. See, if you have them, I'm letting that marinate for a minute. Because that aroma triggers something in you. And listen, when we look at Sophia, she'll say, I took one yesterday. I don't need one today. I didn't do anything that was that sweaty. I'm just like, we're like, go get in the shower. Go get in the shower. And I look at her and say, baby, stuff got on you since yesterday. Can I relate that to your life? Stuff got on you yesterday. And now you're diffusing that stuff because you didn't wash yourself off with the water of the Word of God and with His presence and with your worship. You carry a fragrance. Even if you don't go and get sweaty yourself, stuff gets on you. Listen, whatever is in you, baby, that's what's going to come out of you. That's all I can say, whatever's in you. All right, let's wrap with this story. Turn with me to John chapter 12. It's a very familiar story. It's used a lot to talk about worship, to talk about extravagant worship. I've preached messages around this, but today I want to look at it a little bit different. In John chapter 12, in verse 1, 6 days before the Passover, Jesus entered Bethany, where Lazarus, so recently raised from the dead, was living. Lazarus had just been raised from the dead like the week before. So this is now a celebration that's happening. Lazarus and his sisters invited Jesus to dinner at their home. How cool would that be? Hey, we're having Jesus over. It's just a thing. So Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those sitting at the table with them. Mary came in with a jar of very expensive aromatic oils, anointed and massaged Jesus' feet, and then wiped them with her hair. The fragrance of the oils filled the whole house. Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, even then getting ready to betray him, said, "Why wasn't this oil sold and the money given to the poor? It would have easily brought 300 silver pieces." He said this not because he cared 2 cents about the poor, but because he was a thief. He was in charge of their common funds, but he also embezzled them. In verse 7, Jesus said, "Let her alone. She is anticipating and honoring the day of my burial. You will always have the poor with you, but you don't always have me." So you know this story. If you're not familiar, we just read it. I want to talk to you about 3 aromas, or I'm just going to call them smells, that were in the room that day. Because I tried to put myself in the position of Mary. I tried to put myself in the position of Lazarus and Martha and Judas. I'm trying to think about what did it feel like in the room? What was the atmosphere like? What did it smell like? What were the attitudes? What were the conversations happening in that moment? I want to understand that so I can understand, Jesus, what you're trying to teach us in this moment. And so the first thing I want to talk about is the scent or the smell of sacrifice. The smell of sacrifice. Sacrifice is not a happy word. Sacrifice means something dies. It just means something dies. And this was a moment where Mary had an opportunity to demonstrate an act of sacrifice and surrender like no other. Why did Mary feel so compelled to get up and to interrupt everyone and everything to offer this significant sacrifice? What was it? I can tell you what it was. Her brother was dead, and now he was sitting at the table. She had a reason that she saw a miracle. She had a personal experience with Jesus that she could not help herself. Are you telling me if you had a brother, a sister, a spouse, a child, and they were laying there dead for 4 days, and if we're going to talk about a smell, there was a stench and there was an odor from the death. It was too late. It's too far gone. It's been 4 days. And Jesus shows up and he says, you've missed this altogether. Look, in John 11, let me just read you what it says in verse 38. Oh, I don't have it on here. Can you throw that up there? John 11, verse 38. But in that scripture, that's when Jesus had shown up. Martha was mad. Mary went running to him, falls at his feet, and all this stuff. It says, then Jesus, the anger again welling up within him, thank you, Ashley, arrived at the tomb. And it was a simple cave in the hillside. I can't read up there, y'all. I don't have my glasses on. Remove the stone. The sister of the dead man, Martha, said, Master, by this time there's a stench. They gave Jesus every reason. And this is what he said. Keep going on to verse 39. He said, there's a stench because he's been dead for 4 days. Think about what Mary was feeling right now at this moment. What was she feeling? And Jesus just, he says, you've missed this altogether because I'm about to show you, if you can believe for a different fragrance, if you can believe for an aroma of resurrection and quit worrying about the odor of death in this situation, you will see it, you will believe it, and you're all going to see it for the glory of God. That's what he says. But listen, there has to be a moment of sacrifice. There has to be that moment. Mary didn't mind offering a significant sacrifice because she had had a personal experience. If you're trying to ride on somebody else's experience, no wonder it's so hard for you to sacrifice. I can't go off of Tim's experience or Pam's experience or somebody else's experience or my dad's experience that isn't here anymore. I have to sacrifice out of my own personal experience with him. And it releases an aroma. It's why in the Old Testament, the first place they came was to sacrifice before they ever went through the process to get into the Holy of Holies. There was a place of sacrifice where something had to die, where something, you brought something that said, this is bigger than me, this is greater than me, I honor you more than me, so I'm going to give whatever I can and just kill whatever it is, God, so I can be more like you. There's a smell of sacrifice. Listen, if I had been Mary, I thought about, if I had been sitting at the table, which I don't know if she was allowed to sit at the table because she was a woman, but I'm thinking maybe she was because it was her house. But she was sitting at the table, and I thought, you know what? All of you, if you want to sit at the table, if you want to, but I'm getting up. I'm not okay just to sit here in the presence of the master who raised my brother from the dead, and I'm sitting here talking to him. I got to get up and do something. I got to do something extravagant. I got to sacrifice something. She made a decision to sacrifice. The second smell that was in that room that God spoke to me, and there's a lot we could unpack in this message, but the second thing was the smell of brokenness. There's a lot of emphasis put on where it says she broke the alabaster box, or she broke the alabaster vessel. She broke it. She didn't unscrew the top. She didn't just open the little top and very easily pour it out. She broke it. In some of them, it says it was like a glass vessel and she broke the neck of it off, so the whole thing. In others, they say it just shattered. She just shattered it. She broke it. Why? Because sometimes there has to be a breaking. There has to be a breaking. Now I'm going to dig a little deep for just like 5 minutes, y'all. Just hang with me. Sometimes your breaking is your making. And we don't like to feel broken. We don't like things to be broken. But let me explain something. She spoke not one word in this whole passage. The only sound until Judas opened his mouth was the breaking of that vessel. That's all that was heard in the room. People are probably like, what is she doing? What is happening? We're about to have dinner. What are you doing? This isn't on the schedule. Martha's mad. She's not helping. Judas is mad. She's breaking expensive stuff. Everybody has their opinion in the room. But all she cared about was breaking that. So the oil and the fragrance of that went everywhere. Not, I just want to tell you a little thing, or I'm going to address this issue with this, you know, I'm just going to say this, but not this. It's a season to know where you stand as a Christian in the nation and the nations of the earth right now. To know where you stand with the Bible, with the Word of God, with who Jesus is. It's so amazing she didn't have to use any words. And so many times our words are the thing that dilutes and defiles the aroma. I'll just talk about myself. When I open my mouth, the chance of diluting or defiling my aroma is very high chance, like 99%. It is. Because I want to say my opinion. I'm a very opinionated person. I know you wouldn't tell that by up here. I'm very sweet and calm. I'm very opinionated about things. And then I also know when I'm in certain settings, I know what to say and not say. So I might dilute what comes out of me, out of my words, because I don't want to cause any unrest. I really don't like confrontation, actually. So sometimes I'll dilute something about how I feel about a certain sin or something that's said in the Bible, and my aroma changes. Now I don't smell like Christ. I smell like Angela again. And Angela stinks, as I so eloquently told you, apparently, at the beginning of this message. Can I just say, when I was at child check-in today, at Jube Kids check-in, Ariel was out there. Is Marshall here? I think it was Ariel. Anyways, I hugged her and she's like, you smell so good. I was like, this is great for my message. But listen, when Mary broke that vessel of precious oil, the only sound that you could hear was that breaking, and then all you experienced was a fragrance. Nobody talked. Nobody said anything. Listen, there are some of you in this room, God spoke to me on the way here, that you have bottled up anger. You have bottled up resentment. You have bottled up blame. You have bottled up unforgiveness. You have bottled up lust. You have bottled up whatever it is on the inside of you, and it needs to break. Your breaking can be your making. You're like, wow, Yeah, wow, that's got to come out of you. Quit bottling it up because you're scared of somebody sees it and what'll happen if I say what happened and what'll happen with this. Listen, let me give you this example. This is just kind of bad, but you need to hear it. So if you've ever been around, I love the medical field. I wanted to be a doctor, but I married Tim. So I love you, but I lost all my college credits. You know that when I moved and I married you and I lost it all. And so, but I gave it all. It was a sacrifice of my life for you, baby. Last Sunday, we've been married 29 years, y'all. So, yes. 29 years of sacrifice. It's dying every day. Jesus, Jesus. But here's, let's just be real, y'all. Let's just be real. But the truth is, you know, I understand, I like to understand, I like to research a lot around medical stuff. And so if you've ever been around somebody that has a wound, like a gaping wound, and it has pus and infection in it. I told you this was bad, but just hang with me. If I just keep putting a Band-Aid over the top of that, it's going to get worse. It's going to spread. It's going to stink. It's going to hurt. It's going to be bad. And it's going to get worse and worse because I just keep putting another Band-Aid over it. Because I don't want you to see that I have it, but the infection is getting worse. And it releases an aroma that is not pleasing if you've ever been around somebody with that kind of wound. And you know what they have to do? They have to squeeze all that mess out of there. They have to drain it. They have to press it. They have to do something because at some point it gets to a point that you can't just keep band-aiding it. And I'm telling you that Jesus, some of you in this room, he wants to rip off the Band-Aid and it's going to be painful. He wants to rip it off and you feel like I'm going to be exposed. It's going to hurt. All this stuff is going to be out there. But the more he presses and the more that stuff gets out of you, then your aroma is going to change. He doesn't want to press you to harm you. He wants to press you to heal you. Listen, some of the worst experiences in my life have produced the most powerful fragrance in my life. Before I ever got diagnosed with cancer, I had already made up my mind to make some decisions around some things because I was like, I gotta make up my mind. I'm gonna change this. I'm gonna do this different. I'm gonna stop doing this. There were some decisions, hard decisions I had to make in my life. And I was so proud of myself that I had made all these good decisions. They were all good fragrance decisions. And then all of a sudden, the next 3 months later, I get this diagnosis of cancer. I'm like, but God, I made a good decision. Why are you putting this on me? God doesn't put cancer on us. But that's just how I talk to him. And you know what the problem was? There was some deep stuff he needed to squeeze out of my life. And this was going to be the next process that was going to do that. It wasn't an easy process. It wasn't a fun process. It still isn't. But let me tell you something. It has changed my fragrance. How I talk, how I see things, how I treat people, how I respond. You can ask my family. It's so different. Because there was some deep stuff that had to be pressed out of me with a very uncomfortable process. But God didn't give me cancer to harm me. He gave it to me to heal me. Because my physical body wasn't the problem. It was a heart issue. It was an unforgiveness issue. It was a bitterness issue that had to be pressed out of me. I'm wrapping up, y'all. It's painful. But listen, when you are in the atmosphere and you break that thing and you allow him to break that out of you, whew, the fragrance of a healed life is so powerful. If we could get that. Listen, God gave me this example. If you ever, and if you're an oil person, don't freak out. But if you ever use air freshener, and I didn't bring Febreze aerosol, some of y'all would really flip on me. All the organic people. But you know, have you ever like smelled something and you just spray a little air freshener? And then in about 20 minutes, the air freshener is gone and the bad smell is back. It's like spraying this in a teenage boy's room who just came from football practice and doesn't know where the dirty clothes hamper is or soap or anything else. And you're just like, close the door. That's what we're doing to stuff in our life. I'm just going to spray some worship this morning in church on it and it'll all be good, Jesus. And then it all comes back to the surface on Monday. And then it all comes back. Ooh, that smells pretty good. Listen, when Judas spoke in that room, and it says Judas spoke up, his fragrance changed the atmosphere. Here Mary was, no words, she breaks this vessel, there's oil everywhere. Everybody's kind of looking like, what's going on? What's Jesus going to do? What's going to happen? Some people are probably like, this is very moving. And then other people are like, I don't understand. And Martha's like, what's she doing? She's supposed to be taking the cake out of the oven. And whatever's happening. And Judas speaks up and says, what in the world? This is a waste. That's what he says in the original translation. This is a waste. And if you read the same account in Mark chapter 14 or in Matthew chapter 26, it tells you that it wasn't just him, but he got a whole group of people to agree with him. It didn't say just Judas. It said a group of them began to criticize what she was doing. Because let me tell you something. When you get around a fragrance, you will smell like the fragrance. You will find yourself in agreement with things that you never thought you would be in agreement with. You will find yourself saying things and nodding your head and not realizing what in the world what am I agreeing to? Well, I'm not sure I fully agree with that, but I'm not sure what she's doing is right. And you know what? He's right. That is a waste. We could be feeding the poor with that. And all of a sudden you justify it inside yourself instead of asking Jesus, what is your purpose in all of this? But he released an aroma that was a stench and it was an odor in the room. And I'm telling you right now, that is a significant thing that's happening all across the world right now. People are just releasing their stuff. They just throw it out there. It's like somebody just vomiting on you and you're like, do I clean it up? Do I agree with it? But we will allow the vomit and then we actually treat it like it's something good. What is your aroma? What you agree with gets on you. Do you understand me? What you agree with gets on you. No, it doesn't. I can separate myself. Okay. When Tim and I go eat at a Mexican restaurant, which is his favorite food, by the way. Tim is a creature of habit, so he orders the same thing. He does not like change, and I'm grateful for our marriage for that he doesn't like change. But when we go in a Mexican restaurant, and I love it, man, and right now I'm trying to not do carbs. It's killing me. We went the other night to Cactus Flower. My God, we went to Cactus Flower. And it was so good, and I was just watching Tim and Sophie eat those chips. I was like, that's awesome. It's great. But every time we go, Tim orders fajitas. And are there any women in this room? When I sit next to him and they bring the little, you know, the little, I know they didn't do this the other night. They bring the little skillet with all the stuff and all the little smoke is coming off like this. And I'm sitting next to it. When I leave, my hair, my clothes, everything about me smells like onions and garlic. Everything. And listen, I'm that person. I'm like, I just washed my hair. And now, unless I go wash it again for the second time today, it's all going to smell like that. And Tim's super happy about it. But I'm not going to go there, y'all. Seriously, y'all already went there in your heads. I'm not even going to go there. But here's the truth. Whatever you're around gets on you. I didn't eat fajitas. I don't even like to eat fajitas. I don't like the smell of it. I don't like to smell like onions. I don't like to smell like garlic. I'm not one of those people. I don't want to smell like that. I want to smell it out here. I don't want you to hug me and say, ooh, she smells like onions. But because I was next to that fragrance, it gets on me. All right. We have to get to a place we don't compromise, because in this season, you will be tempted in this day and age to let the aromas around you get on you. And I'm telling you, don't allow it to happen. It will change your aroma. All right, last thing. The last smell in the room was the smell of Jesus. The smell of Jesus. Well, obviously we know Jesus was in the room, right? We know he was there. You know that after Mary poured this expensive oil over Jesus, he smelled like it. Everything in the house smelled like it. It says it in the passage right there. The whole house smelled like that. How many of you can smell lavender yet? In this room. You know why? Because it gets in the whole room. It gets on you. Listen, I want to ask you this question. Do people smell Jesus on you? Or do they smell your fun personality? Or do they smell your criticism? Or do they smell your judgmentalism? Do people smell Jesus on you? Well, Ange, I don't know what Jesus smells like. Jesus smells like peace, love, joy, selflessness, generosity. That's what Jesus smells like. When people come around you, do they smell that, or do they smell selfishness? Listen, you can tell if somebody has been with Jesus or not with Jesus. That's not hard to figure out. When you walk into a room, what happens in that room? When you enter into a chat, what happens in that conversation? When you walk into your room at home, do your kids run out of the room? Mine do sometimes, and I got to fix my fragrance. When you walk into the room, does your spouse wish they could run out of the room? Don't answer that. When your phone number comes up on the text message, do people, your friends, dread that? I'm just being real. There are certain things I can feel the aroma through my phone. And I'm like, ugh. Because I don't want that fragrance on me. I want to smell like Jesus. Something has to be in you, not on you. Jesus has to be in you, not just around you. Jesus has to be inside, permeating every part of you, rather than you just talking about him externally. He's got to be in you. You know that Mary didn't even realize when he said, let her alone, because she's doing this in honor of my burial that's to come. And everybody's like, what? What? Nobody even realized Jesus was the sacrifice sitting in the room. He was the ultimate sacrifice. And the fragrance of what he was about to release so you and I could be eternally free, nobody understood in that moment. But see, we get the perspective because we see the whole story. But she did that act, that released that fragrance without anything trying to make something happen in return. She just wanted to smell like him. I'm going to end with this scripture in Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5 and verse 2. And I'm reading this out of the Passion Translation. You know, y'all know I pick all different, I love the message and I love the passion. Can I say this? The best translation of the Bible I've ever had was my mother and my dad and my grandmother. That's because they lived it. It's the best translation of the Bible because they released an aroma in their lives. Not a perfect aroma. Maybe my grandmother. But in Ephesians 5:2, it says this, and continue to walk surrendered to the extravagant love of Christ. For he surrendered his life as a sacrifice for us. His great love for us was pleasing to God like an aroma of adoration, a sweet, healing fragrance. Guess who your example is? Jesus. He came on this earth. He walked this earth. He gave everything. He gave it all. He laid down his life. He was the ultimate brutal, ugly, nasty, stench of an odor sacrifice. And God made it the most beautiful fragrance that any of us could ever imagine. And now he's like, go be me in the earth. I rescued you. I redeemed you. I've done this already for you. Now take this and go be the aroma of Christ in the earth. Go be the healing fragrance in the earth. Ladies and gentlemen, we have to come to a place where we are releasing that kind of fragrance, because you can go out there today and you can get vacuum cleaners and blankets and I don't know what all things that Tim Fox and Lou Kiros have out there. And if you don't come and give it with the right fragrance, they'll miss it altogether. Because if you give them something nice, but there's a nasty fragrance, we're sending the wrong message. It's time for what you believe and who you believe in and what you actually live to marry. Double life season is over. Can I just bring the music down just a little bit? Double life season is over. What does that mean? That means where you say one thing over here and you say a different one over here. It's not even about integrity. It's not even about what you do when no one's looking. It's what we do when people are looking. When people are listening. Do they smell Jesus on you? Do they smell that fragrance? And I'm just asking you today, I don't know where you are in your world. For me, it's a minute to minute, moment by moment, everything that flies out of my mouth, every thought that comes in my head, every questionable thing that gets into my spirit or into my heart, I have to constantly be asking Jesus for the aroma of his presence to take over in my life. Press out what doesn't belong there. I don't want that stench in me. I don't want that in me. I don't even want to be associated with it. I don't want to be one of Judas' naysayers in the room. I want to be whatever Jesus is saying. I want to be where he is. I want to be the one that they say, let her alone. Jesus is my protector and she's doing what honors me in this season. That's the fragrance we have to release. Come on, just stand up to your feet. It's time to fix our fragrance in the earth. It's time for God to begin to press some things, and you allow him to press some things to come in so he can come in and he can fix and he can shift the fragrance and the aroma that you're carrying. It's time to quit blaming mama, daddy, friend, person, situation, circumstance. We got to quit doing all of that. And we have to be like, you know what? I can't fix that, but I'm moving from here. I can't fix what my fragrance was back there because it stunk, but I can fix it now. And that's the season that we're in right now. Just close your eyes with me. Holy Spirit, you can just leave all this. It's okay. Holy Spirit, we just thank you right now for your fragrance in the room. Let us not miss it, God. Open up our spiritual noses to smell your fragrance and your aroma, and to recognize the smell of the enemy, to recognize the smell and the stench of something that is not from you, God. First of all, I ask you to give every one of us discernment today. Give us discernment to recognize, God, not to judge, not to anything else, but God, to learn how to love the way you love, to recognize, God, that we carry an aroma that's so much bigger than ourselves. God, come and begin to press us. Come and begin to break those things out of us. I want my fragrance to be pleasing. I want my fragrance, God, to fill up the room wherever I am. How awesome, God, that you selected us to go out and be a fragrance. I want to diffuse you in the earth. I want to diffuse you in every conversation. I want to diffuse you in my marriage. I want to diffuse you in every situation, Lord. God, give us discernment and give us a desire for that. And I want to give you an opportunity right now. Because when Mary got up from the table that day and broke that vessel, that wasn't just a sacrifice, it was an opportunity. And she had to take the opportunity. Even though she knew it was going to be a hard moment, she didn't care. We have to get to the place we don't care. We only care what Jesus thinks. And if that's you today and you're like, you know what, Ange, I got to fix my fragrance. I'm the first one down here because I always need my fragrance fixed. I didn't want to release anything over this microphone today that didn't smell like him or sound like him. If that's you today, I'm just telling you, if you will come and meet me up front, we're going to pray with you. And I believe God is going to begin to cause some doors to close. He's going to cause healing to come because there's a healing fragrance that he wants to release out of your life. Come on, who is it? Come on, who is it? Who's with me? Maybe you're not the one who stinks, but you're surrounded by stinkiness, and you're like, God, I gotta be the aroma. Show me how to be the aroma in this situation. Maybe you're in a difficult marriage, and you can't fix your husband. You can't fix your wife. You can't fix those situations, but you can change your aroma. You can change your fragrance. You can change your fragrance. God, I pray right now that you just help us, realign us, God. Press the things, God, that don't belong in us. Press them, press them, press them out of us. There may be a little bit of pain, but oh, the healing fragrance that's gonna come. Oh, what's on the other side of your aroma? What's on the other side of what you're releasing in the earth? It's not worth it. It's not a waste if it's about him. It's not a waste if it's for Jesus. It's not a waste. Come on, I'm just going to ask the ministry team quickly to come. I want somebody with every person up here. Listen, it didn't feel good. I make fun of it, but it didn't feel good when the person I've laid my life down tells me you stink. It didn't feel good when my father says that to me. But he wants something to come out of my life. He wants something different to come out of our lives. God, we release a fragrance in the room right now. We release a fragrance. Come on, if you're at your seats, if you're at your seats right now, I'm asking you to shift your heart and your spirit into a moment of worship. Come on, give God just a couple more minutes of your time, of your attention. What moves your heart, God? What moves your heart, God? What moves your heart today, God? Is it a fragrance, God, that I want to change mine? Is it a life laid down? What is it, God? I'm willing to give it all. Show me how to do it. Show me how to deal with it. Show me how to shift it. Come on, can we just worship him? Is it a fragrance? Is it a fragrance? Then I'll.
Tell me what moves you.
Come on, declare that out of your spirit.
Is it a fragrance?
Woo!
Then I'll pour my oil out. Is it a line laid down?
Come on, what are we willing to do? What are we willing to do?
Is it a song? Some of that amazing stuff out there with the aroma of Christ and give it